listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. So today we're going to do something a little different and call this a bonus episode. And what we're going to do here is we're going to answer audience questions and commonly asked questions that Jennifer and I get. So we're going to address questions such as around career, interviews, leadership, etc. I've got about 10 to go through. Hope you find this beneficial. It's going to be one of our bonus episodes. We're going to do a little bit more regularly, probably once every 4 months or so. So with that, I'm going to get into them. First, though, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Markham Search. If you have any recruiting needs, reach out to them. If you're looking for a job, reach out to Markham Search. Actually, funny enough, that's where me and Jennifer first met while I was working at Markham Search. And I can tell you, they have incredible resources and networks that help people find their ideal job and land where they're meant to be. So I'm going to start the first question that I got, which is, how am I supposed to figure out what I'm supposed to do next? I've been doing, and that happens most of the time when I get asked that question, and Jennifer does, it's someone's been in the same career or same job for over 5 to 10 years. And that's usually it. When you do something for so long, something I can identify with, as I was a lawyer for so many years and did not know what I was supposed to do next. I think that the number one place to start is one question I love is, don't ask yourself what you want to do next. Ask yourself what you no longer want to do. Sometimes when you eliminate the possibilities, other possibilities become clear. So I'd start with asking, what don't I want to do? The second thing then to ask is, and this is a very cliche and it is universally true, what would you do if you didn't get paid? Now, even better, what energizes you? There's always something that we love to do in our careers, a part of our jobs that we love most. Focus on that. And then lastly, I am absolutely a fan. If you have been doing accounting and you want to start a flower shop, I'm all for it. If you have always wanted to be an actor, as many of my friends are, I'm all for it. One of the things I recommend, though, is if you've been in a particular industry long, use that past industry experience to help you forward. For example, if you want to be a coach, as I am, and you've been in the medical field forever, maybe you should focus on medical professionals. If you wanted to start a flower shop, perhaps if you're an accountant, focus on the accounting aspect of it. The point is, use what you've been doing and build on that foundation for what you're going to do next. Another question is, what do I do if I've been fired? Do I tell people I've been fired? This is a good one. I am Mr. Authenticity. You might have heard me say this. I am always on the side of honesty. However, I was a lawyer. And what I loved to say as a lawyer was, I'm never going to lie. I just have to. What lawyers do is to get away with this, is they basically tell their version of the truth. Now, what does that mean? Is that not everyone needs the full story. We have this tendency to purge and to tell people more than they need to know. If someone asks you directly, were you fired? The answer is yes. However, in an interview, or if you've just recently been laid off and you're looking for a new job, as close to the truth as you can get without divulging information that is inauthentic. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes we're not sharing that we're fired. We're sharing the pain we associate with being fired. I can't believe this happened. You're never going to believe it. My boss was this. This is terrible. When we talk about a painful moment, we bring pain into the conversation. So what I recommend is this. If someone asks you, have you been fired? Or if you were fired, what do you say? You say, recently, unfortunately, I parted ways with my company. It was due to a variety of circumstances. And truthfully, I kind of knew it wasn't the right place for a long time. Ultimately, though, as a result of, and then fill it in, right? As a result of the economy, as a result of the situation. But what I love to say is most people who have been fired knew long before they were let go that it wasn't the right place. There's a great line in book, Good to Great, which is keeping someone in the wrong job is like stealing years of their life. So the point is, don't be ashamed to say, Yes, I was let go, and it is the best blessing of my life. I am ready for what's next. So don't be afraid to tell people you're fired, but turn it into a positive if you can. Thank goodness I was fired, because now I can do what I love or where I belong. When is the right time to leave your job if you're not being fired? Same thesis, same theme. Well, I knew it, same idea. It wasn't providing energy. Now, when do you know? When should you leave? Now, if you have familial responsibilities, mortgages, et cetera, you don't have the luxury of just leaving a job without a job. I understand that. As a recruiter, I've heard it many times. As a coach, I've heard it many times. If you do have the luxury and you have the bandwidth, I do believe that if an environment is making you sick, you cannot get healthy in that environment. So what I would recommend is leaving a job before it continues to make you sick and miserable. If you can't because of fiscal responsibilities, then the right time to leave a job is probably when you find a new one. But here's the secret. What I see time and time again as a recruiter and to some degree as a coach is someone will be so desperate to leave something, they go to the most, almost something worse, a wrong thing. You see some relationships too. That's not a great way to do it. A lot of times I came up like, I love threes. And so often you've got to get out of a bad environment, but just understand the next job you go to might be a lily pad to get you to the thing you're meant to get to. But what I love to coach people on is do not leave anything. Do not walk away from anything. Walk towards something. If you have the opportunity, walk towards what you want next. Back to the idea of what I don't want, focus on what energizes me. Next question. How do I negotiate a promotion or raise? Most companies don't just love to part with money for the fun of it. So what I suggest, and I think there's the word I. A lot of people go into promotion and raises and they use the I word. I love the I word. I really do. Because so often people will say, well, we did this and we did that. When you're asking for a promotion or raise, you've got to say I. But what I would suggest you say is, I am proud to be part of this team. I am proud to be part of this company. And I am proud of the contribution that I've added to this collective. My point is, when asking for a promotion or raise, you want to discuss your contribution to the greater whole. More importantly, you want to reference not that which you've done, but that which you will do next. That is true for getting a new job, and that is true for getting a promotion or raise. Lastly, and I learned this with a lot of work in the insurance industry, when in doubt, it is not the worst thing to remind people of the cost it may be if they lose you. That is not a threat. It is a fact. It's not the worst thing to allude to the fact that I have put in 5 years at the same salary or at the same job. That is not inconsistency with what I'm seeing in the market trends within my profession or on my career track. I want to stay here. I cannot do it at the disadvantage of myself. And I don't think it's fair. I think this is something I can do for the company too. That is the last piece of it. By the way, I just want to acknowledge that my co-host Jennifer is not feeling great today. So I hope she feels better. Just text me, you're nailing it. So be an advocate, be Jay Hill. That's my point. But the other point I'd like to make is this. When you are talking about something that people can see the future with, they want to be in that future with you. You want to build a future that not only can they see, but they can't imagine you not being a part of. So thanks, Jay Hill. I appreciate that. You're nailing it part. How do I deal with my toxic boss, employee, or colleague? Call me. You know, I've been there. Toxic people are toxic within themselves. They were bullied at a young age. They had garbage put into them, but they don't want to feel that pain, so they're going to make you feel the pain. The first thing you need to do is realize this affects you, but it is not about you. Recognize that whatever's happening, whatever they're saying, so often, if it's consistent, has nothing to do with you. You are just a conduit for their fear, pain, dissatisfaction, what have you. Secondly, start with their fear. What is making them afraid, and see if you can alleviate it. And thirdly, If you're dealing with a toxic boss, colleague, and anybody else, know that you have a choice. You don't have to work for this person or with this person. There are other opportunities out there. If you do have to work with this person, there's HR and other issues. One of the things that toxic people love to do is say, this is only your opinion. So how do we avoid that? What we say to those people is, no, this is the impact you're having collectively across the organization with many individuals. It is not me. It is your collective impact. It has nothing to do with me. And if you talk about impact, sometimes people will listen. I love this one. No one ever responds to my resume. What am I doing wrong? Nothing. Let me explain to you the life of a recruiter at Google, for example. They get 20,000 resumes, being exaggerated. Let's say they get 200 resumes for the same job posting. And then they hear from their friend's boss that they have this rock star person at Apple that they know. And it's great. Now, Google does create systems to kind of prevent referrals. But I promise you, that person gets their resume, all of a sudden gets higher up the top. Send in your resumes. But if it's not getting answered, it is because it is in a giant pile. It's, you know, why is my needle in the haystack not getting looked at? Because a needle. Now, here's the exception to that rule. You're maybe not tailoring your resume to the job you're applying to. And a lot of these companies, especially the bigger ones, have SEOs. They have search engine optimizations. So if a job description has 7 words and you did those 7 things, put it in your resume and highlight it. Say them numerous times. When I was a recruiter, recruiters have to place about 20 people, right, a month to make any sort of money. They don't have the luxury. And that's not how I did it. I tended to really specialize and take my time. And I still, as a career coach, I do this too. But I'll tell you this. Unless you are an expert in a field and you're applying to a job that is specific to your expertise, a blind resume is pretty much your worst resources. Your number one best resource is your network, your personal network. LinkedIn, go on LinkedIn, look at the job you're applying for. See if you know anyone, even if they're a second connection, and get an introduction. Start with networking, not resume. With resume, tailor it to the job and put in the words that are needed. I feel like I'm a failure. I'm always pass up promotions. What could I do differently? That feeling of failure. Here is the reality, and I've talked about this before. Imposter syndrome is defined as believing that our successes are not earned or deserved, that we are in fact a fraud. Here's the great news. If at any point you feel like you're a failure, it may be because you're a great success. The reason is because so often it is our successes that make us feel like we're a failure. But in this instance, if you're passed up for promotion or raises, or what have you, it is most likely because you are not either advocating for yourself, being advocated for, or ding, 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 you don't have a sponsor. Sponsors are people that are above us in our career that can reach down and pull us up. However, unlike a mentor or an advocate saying beautiful things about us, mentors advising us, a sponsor is not altruistic. A sponsor is doing something because they want to pull you up because they know it's in their best interest. The problem is, from a diversity and inclusion perspective, people tend to sponsor people that either look like them or remind them of themselves. And this is problematic when the majority of leadership in America, at least, is non-traditionally diverse. So that's why diversity at the top matters hugely. However, what I would suggest to anyone who wants to be recognized is to find the people who do and ask, how can I help you? What can I do for you? The higher people go in their career, the less people check in on how they can help them. The more you check on those people, the more likely they are to help you. How do I find my purpose? I've already talked about this, but the way you find your purpose is that power three exercise I talk about all the time. You ask three people, a friend, a colleague, or a family member. I love to say, avoid the frenemy. That's anyone who's not happy for your success. My joke is, if you're wondering which friend that is, that's a friend you have where you're not happy for theirs. I just love that we're not innocent here. We all have friends that we keep in our lives, but there's a competition. Now, they serve a purpose. And we have this in our families too. But if your sibling is always in competition, you don't ask them, hey, can you help me how I help you? Because they might not be incentivized to help you. And I'm not saying they don't love you, but it's the competition that voids. What am I asking you to do? I'm asking for the friend, colleague, or family member that if you're having the worst day, you're going to call, and they're going to be there for you to lift you up. If you're having the best day, you're the first person that you're going to call because they're going to celebrate with you. Same idea. Those are the people you'll do that for. Now, I have 100 words. I'm a nerd, so I love superhero powers. I like cooking, so I like secret sauce. But the only one I care about is this. How do I help you in your life or your career? That's how you find your purpose. Figure out how you're helping others in any arena. See what the common thread is, and that is your purpose in life. Whatever it is that you're doing day in and day out, that you're helping others, that is it. The other key is to ensure that you are doing things that energize you and bring you joy, that you love to do. Because if you're going to find your purpose and it means something, then you better do it day in and day out. The other aspect, I will say this, is figure out the lesson you've needed to learn the most for yourself. For me, it's confidence. Most of the greatest leaders in the world are teachers of the lesson they needed to learn most of themselves and still do. And I got a few more questions. How to answer what you're looking for salary-wise? I love this question, actually. Let me go to this one. Sorry, we talked about salary. Love this question. What do I do if I love my boss but don't like the company or vice versa? You know, most people actually, it's the reverse, by the way. A lot of people have the issue of, I love the company, my boss is terrible. That's actually easier in a way, right? Because you just sort of say, all right, if it's big enough, you go this way, laterally. Can't see me, but most of you can. You go laterally. That's the key to that, right? You just get away from that boss. But that's a good question. What if it's, I love my boss, but this company is, It's not that uncommon. Oftentimes, I think it is somewhat uncommon. The reason that's a rarity is oftentimes bad companies, bad cultures hire bad managers to sort of perpetuate that. A lot of times they're inauthentic, and inauthentic cultures thrive by hiring inauthentic leaders. And inauthenticity simply means they're not looking out for the collective. They're looking out for themselves. We're not built that way as humans. Selfish. So what do you do? What you do is you go to your manager and you say those exact words. You say, I cannot tell you how much I'm here because of you. I value you. You are the reason I joined this company and you are the reason I stay in this company. But I've gotten to a point where I can no longer stay. And here's what a great manager or employee will go. I get it. I understand it. And I'm going to help you get out. Watch how quickly they'll do that. And the reason you do that is so often people will follow one manager across their career to 2 to 3 to 4 companies. You need to make sure that person knows you are never walking away from them, but you can't stay here. And I guarantee you, if they are a true advocate, if you are value aligned, they feel the same way. You might actually be inspiring them to make the same move. So do that. Another question, what is the secret to having a great interview? There is no secret. There is no secret sauce. There is not. There is only, did you go in? Were you authentic, confident, certain? Did you ask questions about them or their company? And did the time that you're in the interview feel short or long? Because I got to tell you, life is short. And if your interview is feeling long, your career is going to feel long at that company. So think about how long that felt. And if it felt like it went quick because it was that good, it's probably a good sign. A great interview is kind of art. It is in the eye of the beholder. I can tell you this, though. What makes an interview bad? You leave and you feel worse about yourself. You leave and you're not excited. what can you do in the moment that's happening? Check in. Hey, is everything okay? Is everything, I noticed this or I noticed that. Sometimes someone's having a bad day, by the way. Bad interviewer, bad interviewee. Talked about this on the show. Just announce it. Hey, my kid's sick. This is going on, et cetera. I like this one. When someone asks me about my biggest weakness, should I really share it? That is such a good one, because when I was coming up with my own questions, I came up with that exact one. The two questions I think that can break down an interview, ready, are weaknesses and why you're looking. And the reason is, it's neuroscience. When we're talking about these things, we're going to start getting smaller and making ourselves smaller, or we're going to get angry, whatever emotion we have. And so how do you answer my greatest weakness, which is such a BS question, by the way. The way you do it is, I would like to say, I could tell you this. I don't thrive in these kind of environments, right? I personally, Brandon, don't thrive in environments where I'm either micromanaged or it's hypercritical. I thrive in environments where, and I've learned about myself, I'm an entrepreneur, but I've worked for companies for the entire career of two to three decades. And here's what I've come up with. Talk about the environment you thrive in. Talk about how you succeed. The implication is going to be, hey, when I'm not succeeding here, it's because I either have these problems or these issues. I'm a weird one for this one, because I've gone in interviews and said things like, I have ADD. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I know I'm interviewing to be a lawyer. And in both situations, I got the job. So why though? In one situation, the partner in the firm I interviewed at, he didn't have ADD, but he had dyslexia. And he appreciated that I'd overcome a learning disorder. In the other situation, they just liked that this person was, they interviewed, I don't know, 1,000 people. They were a recruiter. They remembered the guy who interviewed for the job who said he didn't want to do that anymore. But when asked what I wanted to do, I did give a good answer, which was, I just want to help people. I know that's silly. I know that's dumb, but I don't have a better answer. That's a part of law I love. I just want to help people. And she said, do you want to help people do this? And I did for 4 years. I got some pretty harsh feedback. What should I do? You know, I coach a lot of people now. I've coached somewhere near 700 to 1,000 people. And someone will write me in as we're ending a relationship, be like, thank you, Brandon. I'm wonderful. I'm great. You know, and we'll check in over the years. When do I hear from them again? One of two things happen. One of three things, I should say. One, big success. They got promoted. We celebrate together. Can you do this for my team? That's a lot of my work these days. People I've coached that are now in higher positions and I work with their team. That's a joy. Two, I just got laid off. I got fired. I'm lost at sea. Can you help me find my way? Yes, because we've done it once. We'll do it again. Three, I just got some really harsh feedback, some painful insights on me. What do I do? I'm there and I see them and they are broken and they're devastated. And I love my work because if I've worked with them before, I remind them of all the things that actually make this feedback either not true or align with what they knew from the get-go. Because once again, so many times the feedback someone's getting that's harsh is not about them. It's about the organization. It's about the culture. But you have to take it as fact. If you want to rise in an organization and someone gives you harsh feedback, you work for that person until you don't. So what do you do with it? What you do is you try not to internalize it. You try to solve. What I love to do is this. Take the piece of the feedback, the harsh feedback that is a benefit. You know what? I've heard that a lot. I'm going to work on it. One of the things I do, right, is I talk fast. Anyone who's listens to podcasts knows that. I try to talk slow. It doesn't happen because I'll never be able to be as slow as I want to be. However, the great feedback I've gotten over again is that when I slow down, people better understand me. So it's good feedback. I want to do it better. I'm an East Coaster and I get excited and I ramble. Hopefully not ramble, but I go. How do I brand myself, my business, or my team? I don't like the word brand anymore. This is a guy who's talked to 20,000 people on professional branding and I don't love it anymore. What do I love? It's this idea that I've built, and it's not just mine, but it's what I've been talking about, which is, what is your professional identity? I don't talk about professional brand anymore. I talk about professional identity. Brand is my goals, my strengths. Identity is the impact I want to have, the values that make me me, and what my strengths do to align to that impact. Talk about the impact you want to have on others, how you want to help others, how you want to show up. Do that. Businesses need to do that. Companies need to do that. Teams need to do that. And individuals need to do that. If you understand your positive impact on others, why you have that impact, and what kind of customer you like to work with. We don't do this enough. We don't do this in our careers. Who do I like to work with? Who energizes me? Oftentimes we're figuring out, why am I not getting along with this other team in this company or this other customer? It's because you're not value aligned. Find the people and the customers that you love to serve. And so often they're going to spark the joy and remind you of who you are. So it's sometimes customer focus, which we don't think enough about in our careers. Let me look at some other ones. No one ever responds to my resume. We talked about that. Here's the last ones that I hear a lot than I have right here. I like how I'm just getting comfortable to like, we're just going to wrap y'all and you can't even see me, but this is the truth. If I was just rolling back the things, someone calls me and says, I got fired. What do I do? First thing I always say is congratulations. Your life just got better. If not easier, but it definitely got better. No one's ever left their dream job or company. Okay. It's just a fact. We mourn the loss of what was, not what is. If you get laid off, the company isn't doing as well as it used to. If a person, in breakups, you're in love with that person, but that person moved, they changed. Sometimes things change. We just don't realize how much our environments change because we're changing with them. So congratulations. I know that's harsh, but I promise you, you will always look back on a firing or a layoff in the long run as a gift. It's just how long it takes is up to you. Two. What do I do if I haven't found a job though, Brandon, for a year and a half and I got mortgages and kids and life and, oh my God, I'm spiraling and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The first thing you do is you breathe. You pause. You think, who do I know? Who have I helped? Can they help me? One of the things I found difference between East Coast and West Coast, very interestingly enough, is that on the East Coast, we love to help. We'll be like, hey, you, Bill, you got to talk to Bill. Bill's great. Joe, John, Jim. So I know I'm using guys' names. I'm a feminist. So we'll go, Jill, Joan, Sarah, talk to this person. You'll like them. I don't know if you can help them, but maybe you'll like them. On the West Coast, it's a little different. People don't help people oftentimes, not because they don't want to. They just don't know how to. And so one of the things that I love to say is, hey, I'm looking for this kind of stuff. I'm looking for feedback. I'm looking for help. Do you know anyone that can help me? That's the question. The question, because what happens oftentimes is people say, I can't help you because at my job, there's not a job. I don't know anyone in that career that you're doing. Anyone who's hiring. But they might know someone who is doing what you're doing. Or, I get a lot of referrals for someone who gets, once again, to the coaching. My point is this. Ask people who they know. Not what they can do to help you, but who they know who might be able to help you. And see if they don't connect you. And lastly, I get the calls that people are in tears. They're broken. They're upset. There's two things about that. People are hurting these days. We all are in some way. Take the time to listen. To check in, to see if people are okay. And remind people of what makes them great. Because so often when something bad happens, we get fired, we get laid off, we get a horrible boss who tells us something horrible. We take that as a permanency. And the only certainty is change. Nothing is permanent, for better or worse. And I think that one of the things we can do in our careers, our lives, is accept that. And to know that if we're feeling bad today, we might feel good tomorrow. But as I've said oftentimes, yeah, we can do self-work. We can help ourselves. But I believe the best way to help ourselves is to help others. If you're suffering, see if there's someone else who isn't too. Go out there and help. I can tell you firsthand, I will always take a call for someone who's helped me when I'm down. I will never not ignore that call. I will never ignore that call. Write the thank you letters. Thank people who have helped you along the way. I once wrote a professor that helped me in law school, and I just let them know how they helped me. And they said, I was sitting at my desk literally thinking, should I quit my profession? I don't know if I'm making a difference. And this, your email, then you realize I got to keep going. It's like, this is a person who's best professor I ever had. Changed my life. You don't know whose life you're going to change. I can do this. Many, many feedbacks. One of my good friends, Brad Wolf, reminded me of this the other day. First and last name when you introduce yourself. Why? Because sometimes people don't have a connection to your first name. They might have a connection to your last name. I love the joke. My wife married me for many reasons, I hope. But one of the big ones, I think, is that she's the only Erin Maslin. And before that, her name was Erin O'Brien. And there was a lot of those. My friend's dad pointed out, also neuroscience. It's easier to remember two things than one thing. The more data you give to someone to hold on to remember you by, the more likely they are to remember you. And in our career, other than making a positive impact on others, my hope for everyone is that they're remembered by the people they worked with, by the people they helped. We all deserve to be remembered. And we all deserve the work of people that we remember in a positive way. So if you're working in a place that you think 10 years from now, there's going to be negative memories, maybe find a place where 10 years from now, you're going to have positive memories. But I promise you this, if you focus on the impact you want to make, the purpose behind it, and you connect with those who see you for who you are, you can help others see themselves for who they're meant to be. So with that, I'm Brandon Maslin. Shout out to my good friend, Jennifer Hill, a normal co-host. Hope you enjoyed this bonus episode of Get Yourself the Job. And we'll be back next week with my amazing co-host and hopefully an awesome guest. We have a lot of amazing guests lined up, by the way. This amazing woman named Candace Orson, my sister, is going to join us to talk about the secret of gifting. She owns a company called Secretly Gifting. My friend just mentioned Brad Wolf has a company called Reimagines, about reimagining the end of our lives and not making something that's bad be horrible, but finding the beauty in it. And a host of other world-changing leaders and experts. If you enjoy the show, reach out to us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. LinkedIn with me, that's where I kind of spend most of my time. Brandon Maslin, I say there's only one, but just because it's true. Or Jennifer Hill, find her on her multiple media platforms. Here's what we ask. Go out and help someone answer this question. How do I find the job? And how do I define what that is? And if they're struggling, refer them to the show. Or better yet, refer them to us. Or best yet, help them figure it out. And I thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.